Welcome to Concordia Fitness Academy's podcast. My name is Josh Ganson. I am your host and owner of Concordia Fitness Academy. If you want to learn more about what we do, you can check us out at ConcordiaFitnessAcademy.com or follow us on Twitter at Concordia Fit and on Facebook at Concordia Fitness. Today's guest is Ashley Morgan, former player of mine. She played for William Woods University, women's soccer, and I hope you guys enjoy hearing about lessons that she learned on the soccer field and how they have helped her become the best mom that she can be. Thanks a lot, and here we go.
Ashley, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's your day going?
It's going.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get started here. Thank you for agreeing to come on here and talk a little bit about how you've grown and where you've been and what you've done and all that good stuff.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's been fun. Since I've started doing this, I've been catching up with quite a few of you guys from Woods and from some other teams that I coach too. So it's been fun kind of catching up and learning about all of you guys and what you've done since graduation. So
yeah, cool.
Well, today I've got Ashley Morgan with me. She is a All-American soccer player from William Woods University. I had the honor and privilege of coaching her for 3 of her 4 years there at William Woods. And she set numerous records and has recently been, I guess it's not really recent anymore, it's been a few years, inducted into the William Woods Athletics Hall of Fame. So tell us a little bit about what you've done since leaving Woods.
Well, I moved to Columbia, Missouri, which is now where I live. So I got my degree in social work. And I did that for a couple of years. Realized it's not really what I wanted to do forever. So I made a transition just to like a job that I didn't really have to think and that I wouldn't take home with me every day.
There's a lot to be said for being able to leave your work at work.
Oh yeah, it's like nearly impossible when you deal with human emotions every day.
Right.
So I worked at Aldi for a little while. I was a shift manager there. Then I went and got into the medical field and worked at an OBGYN office for about 4 years, just as like a receptionist, and I answered phones and I kind of did a little bit of everything there.
Okay.
Then I got into the billing aspect of things and I liked that, but I wanted to do more. So I went back and got my certification in the medical coding field, and I've been doing that since.
Oh, that's not an easy field to be in.
No, it's a lot of reading, but it's a lot of learning. So there's always potential for me to grow I want to. Yeah.
Well, good for you. And you get to do that from wherever you happen to be at.
So I started out in the office and then they moved all the coders home. So I've been working at home for probably 2.5 years.
Okay. You get to keep your little ones at home with you during the day, or they go somewhere else?
One of the stipulations was that you still have to have childcare, because it's pretty impossible to have 2 little humans running around and get work done. So
especially with as little as yours are.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, that's cool. And plus, I mean, there's something about working from home in quiet as well. To me, it's relaxing. I enjoy it. So
yeah, I enjoy it like 90% of the time, but then I'm a people person, so not talking to anybody all day is weird.
Yeah.
So I'll leave after work and get some human interaction.
There you go. Well, good deal. Well, tell me about what was something, we'll go back to the days at Woods. We'll start there. And tell me something that you, what was the biggest lesson you learned? And it doesn't have to be soccer related. Just what was the biggest lesson you learned while you were at William Woods?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
It is.
probably just being confident in who I am. I mean, on the field, I was a leader, so that helped just, you know, in general, in life.
Yeah.
People, if I know what I'm doing, people are going to listen to me, and then they put their faith in me. So it said, you know, I have to be good and correct and figure out what I'm doing to help them.
Okay. Well, with that comes a lot of pressure. How do you handle the pressure that goes along with that?
Over the years, it was hard. I had a lot of anxiety. But growing up and having kids and realizing the little things don't really matter in the grand scheme of life, I just learned to let a lot go.
Okay. That's perfect. That's well said. Because that's, I think I struggled with some of that stuff when I was coaching you guys there as well. Just, you know, I've got to be the perfect example of what
right.
a coach is supposed to be when
right.
I'm far from perfect in any way. But yeah, no, that's awesome. That's well said. What was something that you felt was a failure in your past, you know, whether Woods or since graduation?
I think I fail as a mom all the time. I mean, you're not perfect. No one's perfect. But like one day, like, yeah, dude, I'm totally momming. Like, I got this. And then in the next 5 minutes, your kid falls down the stairs and you're like, nope, don't have it. Like, not doing it right now. But I mean, again, like, is that in that moment, that failure is not going to make me a failure, but I can learn, like, hey, do this next time, which is what I tell the kids all the time. Like, it's okay to mess up. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be sad. But what are you going to do next time to make it better or for it not to happen?
Oh, that's perfect. That's a great example of again, of your leadership ability to just, you know, step outside of the moment and reevaluate what's going on. I do the same thing. I probably not to the extent, because I know my wife goes through the same emotions of
yeah.
feeling inadequate as a mom. And I think that's very, very different between moms and dads.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel like I'm not a good dad if I'm not providing food and clothing and shelter and that sort of thing. But
right.
But moms have a whole, I have a whole different respect for moms because it's not an easy job at all.
So do I, like with my mom. Like, I think every time I say something when it's, you know, constructively with the kids, if they're in trouble or if they're upset, like, I get why my mom said what she said, and I will actually say out loud, God, I get it. Like, I sound like my mom, but she was right.
Yep.
So I had a good teacher.
As much as you don't want to admit it sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tell me what are some obstacles that you currently face, both personal and professionally?
Professionally, I think that I'm good. Like, I don't currently feel like I have any obstacles. I'm happy with what I'm doing. Like I said before, I do have the opportunity to better myself education-wise if I choose to. And then personally, I mean, obviously being a mom always has obstacles. But again, like, you just, every day is a new day. You just figure it out. And if you don't do it right, you learn from it and you try it again. But other than that, I mean, I don't feel like there's a ton.
Okay. Well, tell me then on those days where maybe you go to bed and you have those feelings of, you know, you just, you didn't crush it today with with the kids and their family life and everything. What do you do? Is there something that you say to yourself or another way to look at it and just say, you know, I start over tomorrow. Tomorrow's a brand new day, like you said. Mm-hmm. But is there something else that you do in your head that keeps you motivated to get up and do it again?
I just try to constantly be aware of the things that I'm saying to them and how they come out and how hopefully like how they'll perceive, even if I'm angry, that I'm not, you know, I'm not saying things to them to make them feel bad. I'm saying things to them to make them better, to help them see like, this isn't right, but you could try this. So I kind of have to like do that to myself. Like, okay, this didn't work today, but tomorrow maybe. There's not like a mantra that I have, but I just have to like remind myself to just breathe, I guess. If I had to choose one, that would be it.
Okay.
Cause I mean, I have to do it by myself. I don't have anybody anymore.
Yeah.
So I have to just believe that I can do it and not give up on myself, because I'd never give up on them and they would never give up on me.
That's perfect. I love how you said that. Tell me, let's go back to your playing days.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me something that you, what was your biggest struggle with on the soccer field? And then what did you do mentally to overcome it?
So I was my own worst critic. I was so hard on myself all the time because I knew my potential. I knew where I could be. And if I was having a bad game, mentally I was gone. I mean, I know you saw it. You would yell at me from the sidelines, like, pick your head up. But at the same time, anyone can say anything, but I have to figure it out on my own. So I think as I got older, more my senior year, it's kind of when it hit, like, hey, you're a leader, you're playing, it doesn't matter if you're having a bad game, no one else is, like, they're looking up to you, they're gonna play to your potential. If you're hard on yourself, they're not gonna look to you for support. So how am I supposed to be a leader if I can't get my own head out of my ass? And then Bailey would always pick up on it. The first time I had a bad pass or a bad play or whatever. And she would holler from wherever she was, on the sidelines, on the field. She would just holler, shake it like a salt shaker. And that immediately would make me laugh. And then I would like, and then I was good. Like, she was basically saying, get your head out of your ass without saying that.
She had an uncanny ability to do that. Even with me, she could do that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of my favorite things about all of you guys is just how you did pick each other up, and it was a true family atmosphere, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I think about, like, when I look back on that time and think about, you know, you progressing, because that you were what, a sophomore when I came on board?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And you did. You struggled that first year. You know, of course, I moved you around a few different positions,
mm-hmm.
which I know you weren't happy with. But once we finally settled in on putting you in the striker position, I saw a change. And then mm-hmm. I definitely saw a change that senior year and noticed it, exactly what you said. It wasn't about you. In your game, it was about the team and how they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately that's, you know, that's what I was getting after in all those long winded speeches that I gave with you guys standing on the line, you know, that it's for each other and looking at that as, you know, that's how we overcome the one bad pass or the one bad touch or everything's. Is it's gonna have, it's life, that's you're mm-hmm. gonna have a bad something, but you're gonna have someone there to pick you up,
right? I agree.
Awesome. Well, tell me about, you had mentioned your mom and being such a great role model, and I would agree with you. I think your mom is fantastic, and got to know her a little bit towards the end of your career when you were moving to Columbia and everything. Mm-hmm. Tell me a story or something of how she supported you through, you know, growing up and playing sports and going off to college, and even, you know, toying with the idea of playing professionally and moving on from that, mm-hmm. that life and all of that.
I mean, there's not just one story, but just my mom in a nutshell. She's probably the biggest support I've had my entire life. She always let me make my own decisions, and especially with soccer, she could see that I was an athlete. I mean, when I was small, like just starting out 5 or 6, but she saw something and she just kind of let me go with it. She never said, no, I don't think you should play soccer. I think you should play basketball or anything like that. She's always said, if this is what you want to do, I support you and we'll go with it. So throughout my whole high school and whole college careers, and after, when I got asked to play or do tryouts for professional teams, she was always there, always sitting on the sideline, eating her sunflower seeds, cheering me on. I mean, she was my biggest fan. She was my biggest support. And I don't know if I could have done it without her there. I was always able to, you know, talk to her about stuff soccer related. And then I think that led into her just being easy to talk to about anything. You know, when I didn't want to do social work anymore, she's like, I trust you. I trust your decisions. You have a good head on your shoulders, and I support you in whatever you want to do. So I think that had that relationship not been like that, I don't think I would have gone as far as I did with soccer, especially.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Having someone in your corner like that does make a world of difference. And I think, you know, kind of the overall theme of these podcasts that I'm doing is mental toughness. And it's, you know, I may not bring it up a ton or say, you know, this is principle 1, 2, and 3 of how you be mentally tough. But I think it's a lot of things of what you've talked about and how you view things and say, you know what, I'm going to do better tomorrow. Or I've got to keep in my mind how I'm using these words to my kids so that they know, even though I'm getting on them, that I still love them.
Right. Well, and it's like I always like a challenge. I mean, you know that as my coach. Yeah. I didn't like playing teams that were easy. Mm-hmm. I always wanted that challenge. And I think that, you know, flowed over into parenting. Like, my kids aren't always going to be good kids. They're going to be super giant turds. But if I can keep my head and I can keep my cool and I can actually stop and think about what I'm going to say before I get angry, that's my challenge, is not letting my emotions flood what comes out of my mouth.
Oh, that's excellent. And I use that, those same principles when I was talking to you guys. You know, I didn't want to be yelling something that was going to make you guys feel awful. And
But geez, you probably should have a few times.
There was a few times I should have, but I think I did that more with the guys, which would explain why that was a short-lived career. But but you know, you guys would call me out on it too, and say stuff, you know, not necessarily in front of the whole group, but.
No, because when I did that, I got kicked out of practice.
Right. That's a whole different We could have multiple episodes on kicking you out of practice.
Oh yeah, we could, but, for sure.
But no, you guys would call me out on it in the office individually and help me see, you know, things that I was doing right or wrong to help motivate you guys and get you past those hurdles.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids do the same thing. And Jace, especially my younger one, he's got that athletic ability, you know, where just natural, he could stumble and trip over something and he'll catch himself and keep running.
Right.
But, you know, he'll be doing something and I'll start getting on him and he'll just look at me and go, "Daddy, why are you mad?"
It's so simple. And then you're like, "Oh, like, I don't even know.
I don't know. Like, quit being a dork and I'll be happy."
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, when it comes to, I think life, and I think I talked about life quite a bit, you know, when I was with you guys and
mm-hmm.
kind of what you were going to face and have to get through. And that was my whole purpose in leading you guys was, yeah, you know, okay, we were there to play soccer and win games, but ultimately it was about, you know, setting you guys up for future success after soccer.
Right.
And that's where, you know, I looked at, that was my mental toughness training is saying, okay, you know, you think this is hard. This is what you're going to go through later. And this is how you have to keep your head above water to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So, you know, that's why it's been so fun connecting with a lot of you guys since then. It's just seeing, you know, how you've done it in life. And some of us, you know, some of your teammates have had some really trying times, you know, with illness and whatnot, and
mm-hmm.
and have come through it. And others have had easier goes. But it's just fun just seeing, you know, from all those times of waking up at go work with Coach Jones and all that and seeing how that has set you up for success afterwards.
Yeah, it's definitely a growing experience. I can't imagine it would be cool to see, you know, the progression of someone's life from 18 to 32.
Yeah.
And how much it changes. And, you know, you have to feel good about that because you, those like 18 to 22, that's like, you have no idea who you are.
At all.
And you having coached me and also just been kind of like a mentor during that time, you have to feel good about yourself because you help shape part of, you know, who I've become mentally and, you know, emotionally. It's not easy to coach 18 to 22 year old girls that have probably all of our periods all at the same time, you know.
Well, and that's, you know, yeah, because they say that when you get close,
you sync up
together, and that's my own fault for getting you guys as close as I did. And you know that I do, that's why I cherish those years so much, is because, you know, there was things that I could see going on, like, yeah, 18 to 22, you have no clue, you're just living in the moment, having a good time.
Right.
You know, and everything's going to be fine and it's going to all keep progressing the way it is right now. And well, life just doesn't happen that way. And it is fun. And I don't feel like I had that big of a part in it. I just feel like I was there to kind of show you a picture of what it could be like and hopefully prepare you and say, okay, if you see it now,
mm-hmm.
you have a vision and a view of how to get past it.
Right.
And I mean, all of you guys had great parents who raised you very, very well. And, you know, by the time you came to me, there wasn't a whole lot for me to do other than just say, yeah, it's going to get hard. So let's do it together.
Right. Yeah. And everything works better in groups rather than by yourself.
Absolutely. Well, tell me, we'll wrap it up here and I'll let you get back to work, but tell me if there was one piece of advice you could give to someone going into their freshman year of college sports and going to be a soon-to-be mom, what piece of advice would you give them?
Don't be so hard on yourself. Like I said before, you're your own worst critic. People are never going to be as hard on you as you are on yourself. So laugh when you want to, cry when you want to, if you feel like you need to, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter. Take a second and think about why you're mad. And before anything comes out of your mouth, especially to your kids, so that you don't say you don't mean, let small things just roll off, breathe, and all will be good in the world.
That's well said. That's awesome. Well, thank you again, Ashley, for coming on, taking time out of your day to do this with me. And we need to get everybody together for
We
need to find someone who's a planner who could set it all up.
Well, that's probably going to be me out of all of us. So let's just say that I'll do it.
Okay, that works.
All right. Well, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you. And have a good one. Give your kids a big hug for me. And we will we'll talk later.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks.
Yep.
Thank you for listening today. I hope you enjoyed hearing Ashley talk about her life lessons and what she got out of playing college soccer. If you'd like to learn more, visit our website, ConcordiaFitnessAcademy.com. Follow us on Twitter at Concordia Fit and on Facebook at Concordia Fitness. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. And if you'd ever like to reach out and suggest someone for a future podcast, you can reach me at josh.ganson@concordiafitnessacademy.com. Thank you and have a great day.